Read the passage to you, then I'll find it in my Bible. So today's reading for John's sermon comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. So, Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined for us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees."
To start with this morning, I've got a question for you.
Excuse me.
Does anybody know what happened on the 29th of March, 1981? 29th of March, 1981. It was a very important day. No, it wasn't the royal wedding. Anybody else? Any thoughts? It's quite relevant to mentioned, actually. I'm not surprised nobody knows, to be perfectly honest. 29th of March 1981 was the first London Marathon. I can see you're all really impressed with that fact. The first London Marathon, 26 miles, 385 yards of potentially pain, enjoyment, and all sorts of other things in between. On that day, 7,747 people started the race, and 6,255 finished it. This year, 2017, saw 253,930 people apply to run it. Can you imagine it? 250,000 people wanted to run 26 miles around London. There is a limit to the number that are allowed to start, you'll be pleased to know, and actually only 40,389 did it. I have been unable to find out how many finished this year, though. I know the last one finished about 5 or 6 days later. The athletes themselves, you know, these incredibly, fit athletes can do it in a couple of hours. But there was one chap this year that did it dressed in a gorilla suit, and he did it on his hands and knees. It takes all sorts. I don't know how many people finished. He was one of them. And if you were here on that, if you were here for the London Marathon this year, we had a, Was it Neil? Can't remember. It was mentioned, the London Marathon was mentioned, and what it would be like. Now, does anybody remember what happened at the end of the marathon this year? One was helped over the line. He was indeed. 200 yards from the end, he more or less collapsed. And one of the other athletes gave up everything he had run for. He stopped and helped him up, helped him across the line. That is the sort of thing that happens in the London Marathon. Why do people do it? Why do people run the London Marathon, I wonder? Well, if there were 40,000 people that were running it, there were probably 45,000 reasons for doing it. Everybody does it for a different reason. Some, it's to improve their best times. Some of these athletes, as I say, they can do it in a couple of hours. Beats me. I used to like long distance running, but I think about 10 or 11 miles was the furthest I ever did. The thoughts of running 26, no. And I certainly wouldn't do it now. Some do it because they want to. Well, they all do it because they want to. Most of them do it to raise money. And in the course of the marathon this year, millions of pounds would have been raised for charities, various charities. Everybody runs for different ones. And if you look on, if you Google it, you'll probably find, I can't remember how many responses I had when I first put it in, something like 8.5 million responses from Google. A lot. They raise money. What's that got to do with being here this morning, I'm hearing you say? Well, I'm coming to that. I'm hoping it will be evident by the end. At the age of 11, I started grammar school. And in those days, I don't know whether they still do, perhaps somebody can tell me, our school had a school song. Do schools still have school songs these days? Anybody left school in the last 10 or 15 years? Oh, it's a long time since I left school, so I'm not going to... You didn't have school songs. You know, well, perhaps it was the day, or perhaps it was the school. It did try and think of itself a little bit higher than it was. But we had our own school song. And there are various versions. There was the official version, and there was the version that all the kids sung, as you can imagine. The final verse of our school song, and I found this online. I was absolutely amazed to find my school song, actually, on the internet. We scholars of Thames Valley have here our race begun, and may we do it honour before that race is run. I did say it was a bit tacky. Here where the present flowers, the future now is ours, as we play life's game by one clear rule, to honour this, our school. It got worse. And then it ends with Hank Exorna, which was the school motto, and don't ask me what it means because I can't remember. It obviously impressed me so much. But that song, that part of that song has always remained with me for some obscure reason. Have here our race begun. Well, I suppose that as an 11-year-old, yes, I was quite impressed. And it didn't really mean a lot to us, I don't think. But actually, when I look back, realistically, at the age of 11, this was when things really started to happen. You began to start to think for yourselves. I think these days it probably happens quite a lot younger, like at about 4, but there we go. There was a lot of responsibility put on you when you were at school, and there is today, don't get me wrong. All this thought of running marathons, though, life is a journey, a race. It can be all termed all sorts of things. But it took me to this chapter in Hebrews. But you see, running a marathon these days isn't restricted to people running 26 miles. Not forgetting the 385 yards at the end, of course. Which wasn't part of the official marathon, the original Greek marathon anyway. It was supposed to be 26 miles. The 385 yards comes from putting it into the Olympics, when they did 26 miles around wherever it was held. And they thought, oh, well, we can't finish at the entrance. They've got to run a lap round. So they stuck a lap of the track on, hence the 386 yards. Absolutely nothing to do with what I was thinking about. But we are born into the human race. We start with our first breath, and we finish it when we breathe our last. Our race is a journey. It's a journey through life. And like the marathon, it takes determination to actually see it through. In the passage that Chris just read for us, I nearly called Stu again. Let us run this race with perseverance. No. Let us run the race. Excuse me. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For many of us that are here today, we have a faith. We have a Christian faith. It's why we're here. Christ ran the same race that we run. He became part of the human race. And yet, as he came, he knew what the end was going to be. The race that we run in life is a very difficult one. There are times when things are great, and if you've made a commitment to Jesus and can remember back to that day, you'll know some of what I mean. I remember back in 1969, Easter Sunday for me, it was. The day I was baptized, I made a public declaration. It wasn't the time I finally realized that Jesus had died for me. That had happened a few years before. But 6th of April 1969, like David, this year, Easter Sunday, was baptized. Over there. If you were here, you will probably remember it. An absolutely amazing day. Fantastic occasion. 6th of April 1969, TBC, or Teddington Baptist Church, which was where I was, where I grew up. And as I was baptized, there were two of us that were baptised, and as I was baptised that evening, we had a tradition in TBC that as people went through the waters of baptism, we sang, and we did for David this year. But we sang, and this is where it becomes really sad, because I was trying to remember where the words were. I mean, I knew what the words were, and I thought, I think they were number 805 in the Baptist hymn book. I was wrong, it was 305. I was close. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Revelation 2:10, the letter to the church at Smyrna. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's where the words of those baptismal song came from. Never forgotten them. They mean a lot to me. I couldn't tell you how many times I've sung it, because in Teddington we sang it every time, for every person. So probably quite a few. But nearly 50 years on from that, they still mean as much to me today as they did then. There's something in those words that are very important. When we ask Jesus into our lives and he comes, and we mean it, he does come, we potentially start a very different journey in life. One where we know there is always someone with us. We'll go through good times. As I said, at the point I was baptised, I was on cloud 9, or actually it was probably 13 or 14 or what have you. I was high as a kite. Monday morning, when I went back to school, I came down to earth with a bang. And that happens. You probably know the poem Footprints. I'm sure we all do. One night I had a dream. So I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Do we forget that? Do we go through difficult times? Of course we do. We all do. Some of us are now, we know. But the Lord knows what we are going through. He will never leave us. He understands it all. There's nothing that we will go through that he hasn't been through before us. Can you think of times when you've been felt alone? So tired you can't go on. I'm sure you can. I'm sure we all can. But you're here. You're here today. You've got through them. You may be going through times like that at the moment, and I know some of us are. The Lord is with you. He will always be with you. As Christians on life's journey, we need to keep in touch with the Lord. Somebody who's going to run a marathon, what do? They train for it. Many will have a trainer that helps them along, encourages them, gets them through the difficult times. As we go through life's journey, we have a trainer who's there with us. We have to work at it. We have to keep in touch with the trainer. The Lord is our trainer. We know that. He will always be there for us. He will always listen to us when we're low. That's when we really need at times to come to him. What happens if an athlete ignores his trainer? Any sportsman. Andy Murray went through a hiccup in his career when things seemed to go wrong. He was changing trainers. Add two and two together. When you listen to your trainer, do what they tell you, things improve. How do we keep in touch with our trainer? As Christians, we need to keep in touch with the Lord. We read Hebrews 12. This is how we keep in touch with him. Prayer. Reading our Bibles. If we pray, he listens, he hears, he answers. And very often the answers to our prayers will come from the Word of God. Sometimes he makes things very obvious. Other times, yeah, we have to think about it. We have to work at it. When you lose focus on the race, it gets harder. Times can be very, very hard. I said there was the chap that ran the marathon this year he crawled the marathon dressed as a gorilla. I think it was 2009 or 10 or somewhere around there. Somebody did the London Marathon in a diving suit. Full tin hat, the lot. It took him about 10 days to finish, but he finished. He persevered to the end. I'm sure there are easier ways. But he persevered. We've got a Lord who is looking after us. He's there for us. Encouraging. And that's another part of another link with the London Marathon. It's estimated about 750,000 people will turn up in London on the day of the marathon to watch it. They'll watch all 40,000 run past, or however they're doing, whether they're doing it alone, three-legged race, linked together in a boat or what have you. People do some crazy things in life. But they got to the end. They had the determination. When you're running, and I've never run in a race like that, but I can imagine as you reach certain parts, you suddenly see somebody you know. And what happens? You hear him shouting, you hear him cheering. It encourages.
we have friends here. They will encourage. They will pray for you. They will encourage you. Chris has already mentioned numerous people in our congregation who are not well. We pray for people in the difficult times that are going on at the moment. At the end of the marathon race each year, what happens? Everybody that completes the race, everybody that completes the race gets a medal to say that they completed it. This year's was slightly different because there was a surprise in store for some of the people that completed it. Because do you know who was presenting the medals at the end of the marathon this year? Did anybody see the end of it at all? Prince William, Prince Harry, Kate, the future King of England was actually presenting medals to people that had finished. Amazing. The King, the future King, presented a medal. He's a lovely bloke, don't get me wrong, but he's human. He'll make a great king one day. Which would you rather have? A medal presented by the King of England? Or would you rather hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from the King of Kings? I look forward to that. I'm hoping it's not yet. I'd like to stay down here for a bit longer. Wouldn't we all? I don't want to live forever, not down here. But one day we will see him face to face. We will all see him face to face, because at the end of the day we all will stand before the Lord. Where do you stand today? I'm sure you can think of times when you felt alone, unsure of the future. It may be that's where you are today. We've all been there. We all know what it's like. We can empathise. We have to keep in touch with the Lord. If we don't, well, so with the marathon, you start off high as a kite, really full of energy. Then you hit the wall and things get hard. But with the determination, athletes will run through, they'll run through the brick wall, and they carry on and they finish. The Christian life is very much the same. As we said, at the end of the marathon this year, there was the chap who stopped to help someone else, help him across the line. It wasn't a case of winning the race that was important for that man. It was a case of finishing. And he stopped, picked him up, and helped him across. What is it we look forward to? Hopefully those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In the meantime, we continue a long life's journey as best we can with his help. Not taking anything for granted. While we were at Spring Harvest this year, I bought a book by Matt Redman. We all know Matt Redman. We know some of his songs, but his book is just called 10,000 Reasons, which you'll know as the words of a song. In 2012, he was invited to the Grammy Awards. As he said in his book, I knew I'd never win. He went along with his wife and various other people, and he was dressed in a suit, and he felt really uncomfortable because he doesn't like suits, he doesn't like wearing ties, really uncomfortable sitting in the back of this massive limo. When they got there, he said, "We'll sit at the back, no point in me being up the front. I know my name's on the list, but I'm not going to win anything. I don't deserve it." But at the end of that evening, he walked away with two Grammys. And he says in his book, "I was desperate that even though I was leaving with two Grammy Awards, I wouldn't become distracted from the things that I knew God had called me to do." He wasn't sure he liked it all at the end. In fact, he really hadn't enjoyed the evening at all. It wasn't his lifestyle. And his wife said to him, "Let's enjoy the moment, Matt. You didn't ask for this, and you certainly didn't aim for it. I don't know how we ended up here, but God has trusted you with this moment. So let's enjoy it. We've entrusted our lives to the Lord, and he's trusting us to do the best that we can. He's not asking for anything more than our best." Yes, life is a marathon, and it's difficult sometimes, but we will get there. As we come to our final song this morning, you can guess what it's going to be, can't you?